The home of the Suns run to the championship. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Suns Playoff Roundtable, brought to you by Bud Light Seltzer.
Well, it is so cool when somebody says something when you're having a conversation. And you know you can trust Jay Will, but at the same time, how easy is it to say before your body clock gets you up at 2:30 in the morning, hey, I want to come in studio and be with you guys. And then when you realize your own show starts at 3 in the morning, you could have easily changed your mind. But Jay Will said he wanted to come in studio, and here he is, co-star of Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Zubin, Dookie, and joins us in the Auction Community Studios. First of all, thanks. Secondly,
I like the Dookie intro. It makes me feel slightly uncomfortable here in Arizona, considering our history, but I like it.
But you're looking at the U of A standpoint. But since we have a Dookie as a head coach at ASU,
it's all love now.
It's all good now.
Yes.
So you're fine. I'm just going to start with this: your experience at Game One of Suns Clippers,
Doug. So this was my first live sporting event in a year plus. Okay. I walk in, and I'm hearing the music bang. I'm seeing people at the bar. It's packed already. And I just got so excited because I haven't been around people like this. And I'm like, I'm going to have a beer. I need to have a beer and witness. So some fan is like, I'm looking around. Some fan's like, Jay, do you want a beer? I'm like, yes. I was, you know, putting out energy for somebody. And I had half a beer before I went on set. And it felt like a college town. It felt like a college basketball game in a pro arena. I never felt anything like it. It made me feel like I should have came here and played instead of being in Chicago. And I love Chicago, but this is different.
Man, CJ, that's a strong statement.
You've already got awesome. Doug's attention with a beer talk.
You did. Okay? Every listener to the show thought, boy, Doug likes Jay Will now.
Exactly. Now, Jay, I've got to ask you, where'd you go eat last night? That's what I want to know.
So I got to be honest, I haven't had a chance to go out and eat yet.
Oh,
because, last night, I had a couple of margaritas at the hotel. And
I
found myself, it was 7:30. I'm like, I should probably lay it down.
Probably a wise thing to do, Jay.
This is going in the bad direction.
No one's going to mock you for going to bed at 7 o'clock when you've got to get up at 2.
Yes.
It's all good.
And then I have to listen to Keyshawn talk all the time. Or you can call him Keyshawn. I call him Keyshawn because it's pretty annoying. But he's my boy.
Oh, that's fantastic. The arena renovations are incredible. And that was, and maybe you can rip me for it, but the first thing I noticed the first time I walked in, I went to that Suns home game against the Knicks was my first experience in a sense, the new arena, even though it's the same building, but it's gutted and gorgeous now. And I walk in, there's a bar right here. I just got in and there's a bar here.
It's like spotlit too. You're like, oh, this is where I need to gravitate towards.
And I can still see the game. And for those of you that weren't at the game, that's right where Jay Wills has the setup for ESPN. So you're right in front of it. You turn around and see the game, or you face the bar. You win either way.
This is how cool my wife is. My wife sends me a text during the middle of the game because it shows the jib shot of us coming in. It shows the bar
and
all the people at the bar. My wife is like, hey, look, I love you. Stay focused on the game. I was like, I love you.
Man,
you know, I love
fantastic.
You.
Fantastic.
All right, honestly, whenever we have somebody come in here.
Doug makes us talk beer.
Yeah, absolutely. Not only the beer talk that Doug Lease actually engages in, but I love to get a little background on you. Okay,
all right.
I want to know if you played the game of football, have you ever played at high school? Did you play in high school?
I played in Pop Warner.
Okay, in Pop Warner.
Yes.
If, in fact, you did play football, Jay, where do you think you'd play? What position do you think you'd play?
Probably considering my frame, Wolf, I would probably be a running back.
Okay.
Probably a running back. I mean, I'm 6'2". Yeah, I'm 6'2", 210 pounds. I feel like I had the frame I could have put on weight. I probably would have been in a good position for me, and I was fast.
Every down back? Is that what you're imagining yourself as?
Yeah, I'm not that kind of a worker. I have to be honest with you.
Give me the ball.
Situational,
But I'm not all about being pretty. Give me the ball. You know, that's fine.
I mean,
fine,
I'm not Ezekiel Elliott. I'm not wearing a tummy shirt. But, I feel like I would do some
little blitz pickup. Bring on a linebacker every now and then.
Run right through him.
Why not? Yeah, I like that, Jay.
And then I'll be over at the sideline, getting a lot of Gatorade.
Okay. How exciting is this for you to do a morning show and being allowed to talk and not having Keyshawn you know, monopolize everything. This is awesome to hear you.
It's an interesting challenge that you bring up here, Doug, because I feel like every time I talk to you guys, it's like, oh, wow, like everybody shares the rock.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like CP3. It's like DeAndre Ayton, you score 20. Devin Booker, you score 30. Maybe I'll have 13 assists, I'll score 20. When you're with Keyshawn, it's more like Kobe. It's more like, oh, you're going to have 50. I had to pick my spots. I had to be Derek Fisher.
You're
but that's
not getting
okay.
the ball back. Is that what you're saying?
Robert Orr still got paid a lot of money playing with Kobe.
You didn't say.
I'm not comparing Keyshawn to Kobe. I take that back. Okay. But you know what I meant.
I thought for a second you said Robert Horry. And I thought, wait.
Yes.
We don't talk about Robert Horry.
Robert
Horry
with the hip check.
I have to remember where I am located.
Yes.
I am sorry.
You could tell we're still bitter. We are still very, very bitter.
Yeah, Donahue. There's some names that you just don't say.
Yeah.
You don't say around here. I get it.
It runs deep, without a doubt.
I respect that.
If you didn't know, Jay Williams is live in studio with us, and we got so much to talk about. But as you look at what you saw in Game 1 reveals so many things about what the coaches are thinking the entire series. Then you mix in no Kawhi and CP3. What did you see in Game 1 that you think is the first thing you're thinking of, that coach is going to make this adjustment for tonight's game?
So the blitzes that they ran on Devin Booker, or the way they trapped the screen. And there's so many games. Like, even if you go back to the Milwaukee-Brooklyn series when, Coach Budenholzer played drop coverage, and that means pretty much like, you know, the big guarding the guy setting the screen for the guard typically sits back like around the free throw line. And if you're a guard like CP3, Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, I mean, your eyes just become so massive because essentially it's a 2-on-1 and bigs can't guard guys coming off those screens. So I think at first when they tried to double team Devin Booker, I give him a lot of credit, got the ball out of his hands, and the way they rotated the ball, I mean, 31 assists in Game 1. I mean, it was brilliant passing. So, and then I think once they got out of that because they were killing them with the three-point shots, that's when Devin Booker was like, it's time for me to take over. So I think you're going to see them try to give different looks to Devin Booker to make him think, to make Phoenix react more defensively and not let them be as comfortable shooting a three ball.
That makes perfect
sense.
Jay,
were you surprised the Suns played so well in Game 1 without Chris Paul?
Well, I felt like I was watching a documentary, and it was the Cameron Payne transformation documentary.
Wow.
Like, I'm a Chicago Bulls fan, obviously, okay? I watched Cam in Chicago, and I was like, that's not the Cam I saw in Chicago. I don't know who the hell that is. That's somebody different right here. So just watching the way he orchestrated the game, watching how he was – it's so easy. And you guys know this, Wolf. Like, when you're in big games, it's easy to lose yourself, to not be composed. And this dude was just always steady, and he just made the game easy for everybody. It's special to watch, man.
Jay, you know, it's so funny. Big games. You mentioned big games. I have to tell you. I feel like I have to tell you this. I never played in a playoff game.
Okay.
All right? I'm just telling you right now.
That makes two of us, Whoopi. That makes two of us. We're in the same boat.
No way.
I only played 1 year.
Wait a minute. I'll say I never did either. So. Yeah. There you go.
Wait a minute. I am sorry, Jay.
No, don't be sorry.
I never played on a winning team.
Hmm. Yeah,
7-9, Jay. We had the towel on it. 7-9. Honestly, 10 years. That's almost impossible. Three different teams.
But you went to bowl games, Wolf. You can hug it out on bowl games.
What do you mean? You're talking about the Pro Bowl? Is that what?
I meant West Virginia. You went to some bowl games.
No, of course I went to bowl games. So that was college. It didn't.
Before
count.
You were born, Jay, there were some bowl games that he was in. So that's cool.
It just
what
honestly,
kind of bowl games are we talking about, Wolf? Like
like the Blue Bonnet Bowl?
Yeah.
No, I did. We did
the Popeye's Chicken Bowl.
I didn't know that.
You
really went to the Blue Bonnet Bowl?
We went to the Peach Bowl, Basinonians. Went to the Blue Bonnet Bowl, the Hall of Fame Bowl, the Gizzard Bowl.
How many bowls are there now?
I don't know. Too many.
I believe the Church's Chicken Bowl. I mean, I feel like there's a lot of different stuff.
Let's go if there is.
See, I'm the beer guy. He's the food guy. That's why he asked you about the
Budweiser Bowl. I like
that. Yeah. You were all over that.
Make mine spicy, please.
We're jacked up to have Jay Will live in studio. We've got him for an hour. We're going to talk almost all Suns, but something massive happened yesterday. The 17-game streak ended, and most importantly, the roundtable continues with one major topic. We haven't seen somebody grow like D.A., has Jay Will.
Ooh.
That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Great tease.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Doug and Wolf react to yesterday's D-backs game. D-backs Daily. Brought to you by America Roofing, Arizona's number one roofer, online at americaroofingco.com. For a free estimate or 10% off any roof repair, that's americaroofingco.com.
So every morning in the 7 o'clock beautiful part of the program, we give you the rundown of last night's D-backs game. And guess what? The streak is over. After being down 1-0, the Diamondbacks come back.
Ready. Here's the pitch on the way. And Marte corks one to right. That's a hit. One is in. They'll hold the other runner at third base boat as Garcia fires into the cutoff man.
They're up 3-1 as Marte was the seventh batter of the second inning. And later in the game, they pile on.
Swing and a base hit to left field by the diving Arias into scorer's boat. Marte's going to third, and he'll make it in there as Rojas goes into second. And it's 4-1 D-backs with runners at second and third, still only one man out.
They score again. They go up 5-1. Merrill Kelly gives you seven innings, one earned run. Diamondbacks, 17-game losing streak is over.
You've been listening to D-backs Daily on the Doug and Wolf Show. Brought to you by America Roofing, Arizona's number one roofer, online at americaroofingco.com. For a free estimate or 10% off any roof repair, that's americaroofingco.com.
Keep listening in this hour of the show. We're going to give away a pair of tickets to see tonight's game two. We're going to announce the name of one person who texted the word ticket to 620-620. If you want that to be you, text us right now, ticket to 620-620, and you could go to tonight's game and watch Jay Will live.
Can I add to this?
Yeah, of course.
Whoever that person is that gets that ticket, they will also be allowed to come on the set with us and take a picture of me, Jalen, and Maria.
No!
Boom. We'll add on to it. That's right what here. Teammates do, guys.
Are you kidding
That's what
me,
we
Jay?
Do.
If you just tuned in, you didn't know, the co-host of Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin is live in studio. National champion Jay Williams walked into the Auction Community Studios. So now, hurry. Text ticket to 620-620. We might announce your name. You'll have 10 minutes to call in. If that person doesn't call in, you can steal their tickets and their quick credential or whatever they're going to get their free pass to walk up to the studio and get your picture taken with Jay Will pregame. That would be a cool treat. We are.
You're going to regret that, Jay.
Yeah. No, I'm not.
See,
I'll be a beer in. I'll be fine.
It's all good. We are amazed at the job Monty Williams has done. Monty Williams kind of treated DeAndre Ayton a little bit with kid gloves, a little, maybe hard behind the scenes.
Wait,
but
wasn't it not too long ago that I came on this show with you guys and we were talking about DeAndre Ayton and you guys weren't sure
if he's ever going to get it?
Yes.
The first year, there wasn't a lot. You know, they weren't on top of him publicly. Mm-hmm. And then in the preseason, there was a game, just a preseason game, where he had one of his lazy rebounding games, and Monty dropped the hammer in the press conference. And the rest of the world's thinking it's a preseason, get off of it. But it started right from the beginning this year of no more room. And then as late as April, he was still getting benched in the fourth quarter. And now look at it. We are amazed. Have you seen a guy transform this quickly in a year in your career?
No, I haven't. But this is a byproduct of tough coaching, though.
So, amen.
Like, this is like... I miss this so much. We live in such a sensitive world now where it's like, it's not going my way. I need to leave. I need to go to a different team. I'm going to have my agent complain. No, actually, just put in the time. Mm. Take on the damn challenge. Like, I'm glad that, and you know what? Also, bringing CP3. Having an extension of Monty Williams on the floor, another guy that gives you tough love, all of a sudden now it's like, I can't go to my teammates and complain about it.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's no margin for doing that. Now you actually have to look your teammates in the eye and be like, you know what? I was wrong. It's time for me to play better. I'm going to play harder. And this is the level of excellence that we expect. I love it.
The reason why this is such magic to us is Wolf and I have been on this page of loving the kid. I mean, DeAndre Ayton is one of the single nicest human beings to ever play in the game of basketball. Man. But as nice as carries onto the court. And then he was just too nice. Mm. And we would be all over, and we would, the Ayton apologists, as we call them, would tweet us that we are two evildoers trying to ruin this young guy's career. And we were like, no, we're saying it because I don't want to say he could be the next Olajuwon, but we think he's that good. So why lower the bar and pretend it's okay for him to stink? Be aggressive, be tough, and to hear you actually accept the tough coaching, we look at it two ways. Give Aiden the credit for the human being that he is, that he has accepted it and grown. But, man, Monty might have saved a young man's career.
Wolf, what do you think about Monty Williams overall?
I just think he's fantastic. First of all, he was a big believer in culture, Jay, from day one when he showed up here. And I'm sorry, but for me, Bill Belichick coached me for 2 years with the Cleveland Browns. And I can tell you right now, although he didn't have the success that he had with the New England Patriots, I love the fact he was all about that culture. All about, this is who we are, this is what we do, and this is how we do it. I think that's important. It gives you a foundation that your talent then can build on. And that's exactly what Monty Williams did from day one. He showed up here and he had a 5-point pillar. And those pillars are the foundation of the culture that he established here. It was show up on time, right? Work hard, share the ball, play defense. Gratitude. Huh. Those five things right there. Think about that, Jay. And he has created this culture. And James Jones, too.
Yes.
Champ was
deserves
right
a
there,
lot of credit.
Was right there with him. And then all of a sudden they got Chris Paul. And Chris Paul is modeling that on a daily basis. You know how important that is to model that for your teammates? I'm going to model the culture that we have here every day. That's what CP does. That's what Devin Booker does. And Jay Crowder as well. And now we're starting to see it impact these young guys for the Suns.
I think sometimes us as fans, we take those smaller things for granted, right? You expect teams to gel, but it's in the league. And look, you guys are dealing with it already, right? Look how conversations have quickly. We've gone from the national scene. We're comparing Devin Booker to Kobe Bryant. Those are the kind of topics that are out there. You're talking about, hey, Devin Booker is dating one of the Kardashians. Will that mean, will he go to L.A.? Will he go somewhere? Will he be a New York Knick? You know, all the people from Kentucky are part of the Knicks organization. Will CP3 finally become a banana boat boy again? Go to L.A., play LeBron? Like, there's so many distractions that come your way when you become a really good team that it's hard to keep that inner core together. But this is where I give Monty Williams a lot of credit. I don't know how I ever respond back if I lost my wife.
No, I know.
I don't.
Oh, man.
I do not. And I know that we could sit up here and you can give all these reasons on why he would. But to say, I look that man in the eye, the kind of father he is, the kind of leader he is, and that connection that he has with his players, that he can challenge them, but that can come from a place of love. And, Wolf, you know this.
Yes.
How you communicate to your players is everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's everything. So when I hear a terminology, him say, I'm not calling you out, I'm calling you up.
Yeah.
Those smaller semantics, that matters when you're a young
See,
dude.
I totally agree with you, what you're saying, but Jay, can I tell you right now, I come from a different era.
Okay. Well, okay? I'm with you on that.
Oh my goodness, the hard coaching that I received it to this day. I love those men. Who poured into me.
I
love those men who said, I'm not going to let you just be okay. I'm not going to do it. You stink. They tell you the truth, right? And then all of a sudden they'd be hard on you. I will tell you some stories I can't actually say on the air because it's just something that is inappropriate.
But see, well, can I say I agree with you? We're on the same page.
Yeah.
But you can't just be one way all the time,
no,
right? You can be tough, and then you can give love at the same time, then come back and be tough.
Absolutely.
You can mix it up.
You
and that's what Monty's good at, mixing it up.
I
it's not
totally
like,
agree.
Hey, this is it all the time.
Yes.
Man, listen to you guys.
Give me that sugar, man. You got to get that sugar.
You need it. Everybody needs it. My son is 7 weeks, and I'm like, you get up and you crawl. It's time for you to crawl. Let's go.
Yes. But then you love him. You love on him. You encourage him. And then all of a sudden, you're back there. Come on, crawl, you kid.
I dearly love my wife, but man, did she get mad at me when I would talk trash to the now 16-year-old when she was 3 and we're playing Candyland. You're not getting the Rainbow Trail, woman.
No.
You ain't getting it. You know?
Tough love.
Exactly.
That's the world, Doug. Nobody's giving you the Candyland. It's not happening.
This is fantastic. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin co-host is with us. Jay Williams, we're having a fantastic time, and we've got tickets to give away to you still upcoming, so make sure you keep listening. The question that's kind of started to develop that was started on ESPN yesterday. Kawhi or CP3? Whose loss is more impactful? That's next. Game 2 of the Western Conference Finals. And oh, by the way, we haven't brought up the five words that will make you an arrogant person guaranteed. Next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The home of the Suns run to the championship. 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station. Suns Playoff Roundtable, brought to you by Bud Light Seltzer. Doug and Wolf talk Suns in the Western Conference Finals.
We want to jump right into more of Game 2, Western Conference Finals. But instead of Wolf and I jumping in or us starting with a question for Jay Williams of Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, why don't we give you the chance to see tonight's game? Push it!
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. The hottest ticket in town game day giveaway.
Okay, here's how this works. We just pulled a name from everybody that texted ticket to 620-620, and the name we're calling is Jessica Cassis from Tolleson. West side of Phoenix, right in Wolf's face.
West side!
Jessica Cassis, you're on the clock. You've got 10 minutes right now to call in, and if you do it, you're going.
602-260-9870.
Now, if your name is not Jessica, don't call in. You cannot win, and we make you prove that you're Jessica because we have secret questions that only Jessica knows about herself. However, keep listening in the next beautiful part of the program, because if Jessica does not call in 10 minutes, you can steal her tickets coming up at 7:30. Keep listening for your chance to steal Jessica's tickets. Jessica, you're on the clock. Oh, no, not again. Not again.
What am I missing? What happened?
Jay Williams is live in studio, and he doesn't know the embarrassment Ron Wolfley caused the Doug and Wolf show. He was quoting from Sun Tzu and said, if I'll let you explain it.
Yes. Well, Sun Tzu, of course, ancient Chinese warrior philosopher, said, when you are inferior, you're going to punch that while I'm actually talking, Mitch?
You should know the post is coming.
I honestly, he said, when inferior to your opponent, use the cheat, which is the extraordinary.
Yes, the cheat.
Do something extraordinary.
Yes.
When you are superior to your opponent, use the chunk, which is the base, the norm.
Well, as soon as
he said that,
I was
really
worried fans were going to show up to the game with chung signs against the Nuggets. And I didn't want that. And once I started bringing this up, I had to explain to Minchin Maloney, who did not know that there was a song before they were born, Wang Chung. They started playing it. Wolf was insulted because he hates cheesy 80s music. And now Wang Chung became the theory of the Suns, which brings up this question.
I don't know what's more mind-boggling, hearing you explain that or hearing you like Snoop Dogg being like, West Side!
and that is this question.
Isn't it, Jack?
What a dichotomy.
Do you establish the Suns as the better team in the series, which in Wolf's mind means use the chung, or do you think they have to go out of their norm in order to beat the Clippers?
That's a great question. The Suns are the better team, but I don't think the Suns are playing like they act like they're the better team.
That sounds good to me if I'm a Suns fan.
Yeah, because
don't take it for granted.
If I'm watching the way, if I'm watching the way they played in Game One, and I saw how Devin Booker, how they initiated the offense, how they played with a sense of urgency, that's a great sign for me. Recognizing that I'm eventually going to get our captain back, we're going to get CP3 back, and I'm looking at a Clippers team. They had 36 hours of rest, right? And you think about it, I mean, Reggie Jackson, his legs look tired. Marcus Morris, you're not sure if he's going to play today. Paul George is talented, but I don't care what anybody says. One man is not going to beat five, especially if you're playing as a collective unit. So if I'm the Suns, we have to pounce now. We pounce on you now, and then the question starts, can the Clippers come back three series in a row down 0-2? And I don't think they can.
If you're Monty Williams right now, what are you doing, Jay? How are you setting the table for this Suns team? Because if I were Monty Williams right now, I'd be talking to them about, I wouldn't expect Chris Paul back this entire series. I'd be setting the table that way. Hey, listen, you went out and played Game One. We won Game One. That is fantastic. But you know what? You need to play better. We need to prepare even more than what we did. Play better and prepare yourself to not have Chris Paul. Mm. And I think that'll actually help them the rest of the series. Just prepare like you're not going to have him.
I also would say that I would not switch so much on Paul George. I would stay home, and I would make life miserable for Paul George. If Marcus Morris doesn't play, look how offensively limited this Clippers team is. I mean, Rondo had point-blank shots he did not take. Nicholas Batum is a spot shooter, a guy that wants to slash and get to the rim. Very one-dimensional. Paul George is the one guy that can keep them in the game. So I would throw multiple looks at Paul George. There's nothing worse than being an NBA player not knowing what coverage you're going to see each and every time down the court. Mm. Because now I'm spending half the possession trying to think it out. And then when you get down to 8 or 9 seconds, every NBA team then goes to ISO ball to a degree. That's the way the Clippers have to be. Mm. And you know where the ball is going. Stop it. Stop it each and every possession. Make life miserable. Tonight is a game where you should see Paul George that should be like 9 of 30. From the field. Mm-hmm. He's going to take 30 shots. He's going to have to get up 30 shots for them to have a chance. But you want to see those type of numbers statistically from Paul. And if I see that, you know the Suns are going to win.
That's why I feel so good about this series as long as the Suns don't beat themselves. And because you can never really, even though we feel good after that Nuggets series, because they made sure the Nuggets never had a chance to breathe. But they got to do that again. And the only thing that fears me is the Suns beating themselves. I would say the second thing is a Magic Johnson opinion from earlier yesterday. This is on First Take, ESPN. If you just tuned in, J. Will from Keyshawn, J. Will and Zubin is live in studio with us. So Magic said,
so I think the Clippers need Kawhi. And Kawhi probably wants to play and redeem himself, just like we're seeing Paul George stepping up because of what happened last season. So I would say Kawhi needs to be back more for this series than Chris Paul with the Phoenix Suns.
The man is such an enigma. I don't even want to guess what's going on with Kawhi Leonard. But it does scare me that the balance of power in this series, the way it changes if he plays. That, who do you think is a bigger loss, Kawhi Leonard or CP3? I think it's Kawhi.
It's Kawhi.
Yeah? Okay.
It's Kawhi. And I would say that, first off, if somebody, and this is only my speculation, if somebody has a torn ACL, you make the announcement that they have a torn ACL. You know, and it, well, how about gamesmanship? And I'm like, oh, what? How's that going to – I'm not changing my game plan at all. It doesn't matter. If I see Kawhi, obviously my game plan is going to be different. Mm-hmm. I'm prepared if I'm Monty Williams if I see Kawhi. But if he's not on the floor – I mean, think about how dynamic of a defender that Kawhi is. And people are going to say, well, you know, Luka still have 47. It's not until you're on the court – that's what I try to tell fans – it's like P.J. Tucker versus, you know, KD. KD had 50. I was like, how good of a job did P.J. Tucker really do? I'm like, all right. It's not until you're on the court, until you see Kawhi Leonard at 6'8", with a 7-foot wingspan, who's on you constantly. You can play a foot off you, give you space. And even when you beat a guy like that, you're always worried about where he is because he looms over the top of you and he can block shots. So now if I'm worried about where you are behind me and I'm attacking the rim, now I have to worry about bigger bodies in front of me. How do you navigate that? And there's a relentless approach to not only defensively, but also offensively, man. I mean, look, he's had more 30-point games in the playoffs than anybody else right now this season. So he's a dynamic scorer, an elevated wing defender, and Devin Booker hasn't seen that yet. Like, if that's a matchup that you're putting him on Devin Booker, it's a different kind of matchup than Paul. I can't put Paul George on Devin Booker the whole game because I need Paul George to drop 30 when Kawhi's not in the game. So now when Kawhi's in the game, I can give different looks to Devin Booker. I can make life miserable for Devin Booker with Kawhi. That's a major loss.
I love hearing you say this because you know why? Paul George, according to Ty Lue, can't be put on Devin Booker very often. But there were a lot of times in game one, Devin Booker said, I'll take Paul George.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's got to say something as a teammate, that their guy doesn't want anything to do with my guy, but our guy wants to be in front of your guy.
Hey, well, this is the entire team that tried to miss the Lakers.
Yeah, right? That's true.
Mean, you know.
There's karma here, too.
But also, if you're Paul George, realistically, and coming off being down 0-2 in two series in a row, you're looking at saying, how much can I realistically do? I know what I want to do,
But realistically, if I need to drop 30 to 40 points a night, it takes a lot on my legs, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man.
Like, amen to that.
Like, I'm going against Mikal Bridges. You know how long Mikal Bridges is?
That's crazy.
Stand up next to Mikal Bridges and see it for
just
yourself.
The fact that we're talking about Kawhi Leonard in an ACL, I got to tell you, Jay.
That's just the rumor. But with Kawhi, you never know. Is it just load management?
I know,
or is he
but
really hurt?
I'm just saying, you got a tear in that thing, and you're going to go out and play with a small tear of the ACL? Man, I don't know about that.
By the way,
I mean, Joel Embiid play with a small meniscus tear.
Meniscus, though. Right?
Yeah, ACL is way different. Agreed. I'm with you. ACL is way different.
This is kind of cool. For those of you that would like to steal Jessica's tickets.
She has not called in yet.
She's got about 90 seconds left, and she hasn't called
Jessica.
In. And it's time for us to hit a not-so-beautiful part of the program. So make sure you keep listening in the next beautiful part of the program. We were told a long time ago, Jay, don't say segment. That's why we say beautiful part of the program.
That's right.
We were told segment's a dumb word. People don't know what a segment is.
Right.
Well, yeah, they do, but we'll just make fun of it anyway. So that's why we did this. We made fun of the bosses, and they've never known. So in the next beautiful part of the program, you might be able to steal Jessica's tickets. So keep listening. And we'll tell you if she calls in the next minute. Up next, one man said our Devin Booker is the next Kobe. Another man in this studio said, wait a minute. We're going to give him the chance to say it live next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
We don't do interviews either.
The home of the Suns run to the championship. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Suns playoff roundtable brought to you by Bud Light Seltzer. Doug and Wolf talk Suns in the Western Conference Finals.
This is not Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, but we got J. Will here. I have no idea why Mitch thinks a wedding is breaking out here on the show. We're in the Auction Community Studios here on the Doug and Wolf Show. I need some help, mentioned Maloney. Did Jessica call in?
She did not.
Oh, my gosh. Jessica.
Jessica, you have one job.
And you just got called out by J. Will. So if you don't know what's going on, first of all, you'll have another chance to be a winner coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. So text TICKET to 620-620 and listen in the 8 o'clock hour for your name. And you can call in and win a pair of tickets to tonight's game. However, we're doing something cool. Since Jessica didn't call in, Maloney's going to hang up on everybody that tried to mooch and call in too early. And J. Will is going to throw out a number right now. What number caller?
Number 7.
Number 7.
Oh, I'm glad.
Boom.
You didn't say
if
17.
You are caller number 7, yeah, that would have thrown Maloney into a tailspin right there. Caller number 7 right now.
602-260-9870.
If you are caller number 7, you win two tickets to tonight's Game 2 Western Conference Finals for the hottest ticket game day winner. And Jay Will's invited you to get a picture with him, Maria Taylor, and Jalen Rose, former son, right there in the studio set up right by the bar. I didn't know if we had any music queued up.
No, right.
I didn't even ask Mitch, are you got anything queued up? I just pointed and hoped something happened.
You just threw it to him. Mitch was like, what do you want me to do?
Do something! And Mitch did it, so we're good.
This happens a lot, Jay, just for the record.
It does happen a lot.
Got you, brother.
If I was a good talk show host, we would have had a plan. But then that's not fun. So why bother having a plan? Stephen A. Smith. Wow.
The brother is so young. He's got a J. He's got a handle. He's got a mid-range game. He's got a long-range game. He can create his own shot. And he's got an assassin's mentality. He's a killer. He's a killer. So I'm looking at it from that perspective, and I'm telling you right now, when you look at him and what he brings to the table, this brother is something special. His game is incredibly similar to what you've seen, what you used to see from Kobe Bryant, God rest his soul. It's that special. When I think about Donovan Mitchell, the way he slashes to the basket, even though he has a better three-point shot than than Dwayne Wade ever had, the bottom line is that his game is somewhat similar to Dwayne Wade's. And Devin Booker's game, if you look at him, is very similar to Kobe Bryant.
Number one, Stephen A., whatever you're doing, either just sit in the car and finish the interview or stop moving at the desk and do the interview.
But it sounded like he was on the toilet.
But
you'd be surprised where we do some of these interviews from.
J. Will's already heard that because that was from his own show, from Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Now you won't be interrupted by Keyshawn, so I ask you, with you being able to talk about it, is Kobe Bryant reincarnated into Devin Booker.
Well, let me say this. There was some backtracking going on with my brother, and I love him. He's the best in the business, Stephen A. Smith. Because 2 days ago, he said Devin Booker is the next Kobe Bryant. And now what I'm hearing today on my show is that there's similarities. And I'm like, oh, okay. Just say there were similarities 2 days ago, because I could tell you, of course there's similarities. Mm-hmm. Like, I love Devin Booker's game. There is an assassin mentality.
Sure.
He does destroy you at the mid-range game. He can shoot the three. And plus, there's a feeling you meet when you see Devin Booker. It feels something similar to Kobe. But to say he's the next Kobe Bryant, I'm not doing that to Devin Booker. That's doing a disservice to him and to fans, because now fans want to compare Devin Booker. Look, I've learned a lot about comparing people over the last month or so, okay? I'm not comparing anymore. What I'm saying is, then all of a sudden you start saying, well, Kobe Bryant was all NBA multiple times by the time he was 24. He won multiple championships by the time he was 24. And you start saying everything that Devin Booker is not. I'm not doing that to D-Book. D-Book is Devin Booker. Kobe Bryant is one of one. Can Devin Booker get there, Wolf?
Yeah.
Maybe one day. There's a long road to go for D-Book to get there.
I have to ask you this, Jay. Why did you say, I'm not going to compare people? Why were you saying that? What? What? Am I treading into dangerous ground?
No. I mean, we're going to go there anyway. Well, I...
Do you think he compares to Kevin Durant?
I heard it. I may have heard a little bit.
I didn't want to advance my career, Wolf.
Okay, good. Be careful.
I'm treading cautiously here. Look, I think sometimes that it's been. Let's be real, and I'll be curious to get your opinion.
Okay.
This is like you guys are big brothers to me.
Here we go.
Show me the way. I think sometimes the rooms that we're allowed to be in, it becomes somewhat complicated with if somebody's not providing you with structure about what is allowed to be said and what is not allowed to be said. How do you navigate that when you're on radio or TV for 7 hours a day?
Trial by error.
And that's what's been challenging for me, Wolf. Like, there have been a lot of things that I do, a lot of businesses that I'm involved with, where it lends a lot of conversations, mm-hmm. a lot of intimate, real. I'm a real person. Look, came on your show talking about almost dying.
Totally get that.
I'm going to have a beer with you. Like, I'm one of my friends yesterday, we're sitting next to each other, and she's like, I just had my second kid. Life is crazy. I'm like, talk to me about postpartum. My wife and I talk about it all the time. Real life
talk.
Conversations, mm-hmm, right?
Absolutely.
So when I have real life conversations, those things sometimes come on air. Like, so for me, I think, look, should I divulge the story about Kevin Durant and me saying, hey, I thought at the time Giannis was, if KD and Anthony Davis had a baby, it would have been, you know, Giannis. Maybe I shouldn't have. I shouldn't have said it. Maybe I shouldn't have said it. I just didn't expect that kind of bite back.
At that
level. And I own the mistake. I'm a real dude. Like, I wrote a book about mistakes. I'm all about being accountable. And I went on air the next day. I was like, you know what? That's on me. But I'm not going to get back into this whole tit for tat back and forth via social media. I got guys like Steven Jackson calling out me, calling out my family, Kwame Brown trying to come at me. And for me, man, like, this whole opportunity has given me so much empathy towards people that are misunderstood. Because then I had people that were commenting on my family, commenting on my values and my credibility, who had no idea who I was. And I was like, oh, okay, you know what? I'm going to be exponentially better the next time I have a chance to share a story like that. I'm going to think through it way more, because it just gave me different insight. Give me a different perspective, man.
There is a crazy responsibility, and everybody that is a talk show host has screwed up, and you'll screw up again. I mean, there's just no way around it. That's a difference between I try to respond a lot to the people that have class but have a problem with me and express it with class, because then those people are normal and they know they've screwed up. There's another group of people that want to come at you like you are evil, the biggest jerk, and they've never done anything wrong, and they want to get you fired immediately. And those are just sorry people that all you can do is ignore. You can't let them into your world. And there's so many benefits to Twitter, Instagram, and everything else, but those are the perils we just can't get into.
I would say
just don't fall in those lines.
Be your harshest critic. That's a good thing to be.
It's a great
line. Your harshest critic. It really is.
And then you can ignore those people a lot easier.
I can't tell you how many times I drive home and I just say to myself, shut up, Ron.
Shut I can't, up. And I say the same thing during this show.
Yeah, right.
No, I don't understand. I'm sorry. Don't make fun of the guy laughing at the joke told by the other guy. Yeah, all I'm going to say is.
Because it encourages me.
Well, let me ask you, like, how do you. So, like, you know.
Let me stop you because this is deep, and I want to go deeper because it's beautiful and we can make people better people, but we do something else at 7:41 that makes people great people. And that is Character Counts. Every Thursday at 7:41, we do Character Counts. It's presented by Parker & Sons Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, and Electrical. And wow, we got to talk San Francisco Giants. And you know we don't want to, but when somebody is this great, you have to. Darren Ruff's family is feeding San Francisco's homeless. And if you've ever visited San Francisco, your heart pours out with how many homeless are struggling in that city. And it's not the easiest thing to try to explain it to your five-year-old. And when Ruff and his family arrived in San Francisco, they did a lot of exploring, checked out the parks, the open spaces, and they were asked a question by their five-year-old, why are people sleeping on the sidewalk? Well, that had the Ruff family thinking, and Darren's wife, Libby, said, we've got to do something. And that's when the idea started of making brown bag lunches. And they would do it together as a family with peanut butter and jelly, granola bars, crackers, bottled water, and a positive message that said, go Giants. We got to send them some go D-backs messages or something. You don't have to lose 17. I don't know if he fully understood what someone goes through, but he was able to learn about giving a meal to someone every day. That's family message right there.
You know what, Basinonians, just open your eyes, look around. There are people around you in your daily life that are in need. So I'll ask you this question. What are you going to do about it?
Yeah. Well said. Now it's your turn. Do something like the Ruff family did, and please don't lie to yourself and say you've got to be a millionaire to do it. You can do it. Parker & Sons Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, and Electrical is the proud partner of Character Counts. And what do? They provide a $10,000 scholarship to a deserving student in our area, but there's no way we know who deserves it without you. Go to charactercountsaz.com. Tell us the story of a great student in your area so we can honor them on the Doug and Wolf Show. Coming up next... What if Chris Paul and Devin Booker don't stay? Jay Will's going to make us feel better next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
I got the chills.
The home of the Suns run to the championship. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Suns Playoff Roundtable, brought to you by Bud Light Seltzer. Doug and Wolf talk Suns in the Western Conference Finals.
Hope you're enjoying it as much as we are. And I'm sorry to be a jerk. If you're not, I'm not really all that worried because I want to do it again. We're having a great time. Jay Williams live in studio this morning in the Auction Community Studios here on the Doug and Wolf Show. And man, we've touched a ton of stuff. But one thing we haven't touched is I would love to know from you as a former NBA player, something that goes on in the league. And Wolf and I, as talk show hosts, we've really struggled with this topic. Mm. And that is, it is totally unfair to Devin Booker, the individual, for us to bring up him going to New York, him going to LA, him leaving Phoenix. He's on a max contract. He's never complained publicly. He has broken his right wrist and got himself better as a left-handed player. Then he's had other issues in which he had, I think, 6 head coaches in 5 years, doesn't complain, and does whatever it takes to win. So he doesn't deserve talk show hosts talking about his pending doom and his desire to go somewhere else when it's unsubstantial. However, it's the culture of the league.
Yes, it is.
And so it's almost fair for us to talk about it, about any NBA player. Anthony Davis did it. James Harden did it worse. Everybody
LeBron
eventually
started it.
Yeah, but at least LeBron was a free agent when he did it. And it's just, it's gotten worse and worse. So from that standpoint, we have every right to talk about it because D-Book, that's the culture of the league you're in. So I ask you, what do you think the future of Devin Booker is, and how do you handle the subject matter that's unbelievably delicate of how bad we want Devin Booker to stay right here, but as this young man's brand grows, there's going to be a lot of Madison Avenue and a lot of Hollywood that wants a piece of him.
I mean, that's a deep question, man. I will say that this year, I mean, last year felt different because the way they finished in the bubble. This year feels really different here, though. It feels special.
And is there a chance Chris Paul and Devin Booker saved each other and they won't go anywhere because of it?
Well, and here's my thing. It's not about where you are. It's about who you're with.
Mm.
Like, that means something. And look, this is really one of the first times I've actually got a chance to come out here and kick it. Like, really kick it. Most times I come out here, I'm working, I'm in and I'm out. I'm like, damn, it was really hot there. And now I'm like, I'm out here for multiple days. I'm like, yo, my friends have homes out here. I'm like, this is incredible. Golf is incredible. I'm a quick flight here. I'm a quick flight there. I can get to where I want to go. And, you know, Wolf, you talked about something. Culture means a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm watching CP3 and Devin Booker build a culture here.
With Monty.
And I don't know. I think sometimes people take it for granted. Because when you talk about, like, all right, oh, just go to New York or go to another situation. Man, I don't know if the culture is going to be the same. And who I win with matters to me. Devin Booker is a character type dude. He's a quality. I've known this guy since he was coming into Kentucky. We actually sat down and did a boardroom with him 2 years ago, and it was him and Kelly Oubre, and all they talked about was like the Valley Boys. And it was funny. I'm like, man, you guys started a whole brand called the Valley Boys. And for Devin, I could just tell, like, even though he was talking about that, it wasn't about that. It wasn't about the glitzes or the glamour, right? He partook in it, but like, Devin's the kind of guy. I'm going to give you guys a club scenario. Okay. I don't know when the last time you guys have been to a club, but we're going to rejuvenate our whole lives. We're bringing to a club. I'll be real quick on this story. So it's like, you know, some dudes, when they walk into a club and they sit down at a table and you see 1,000 bottles come out with the lights, right? And like, oh, yeah, he's at the club. And you're like, man, okay. And now everybody knows this guy's at the club. There's another guy like a Devin Booker or a Derek Jeter. Well, you'll see the bottles come out, but there won't be any sparklers. And all you see is the bottles just be on the table. And you're like, man, Devin got like 15 bottles, but nobody even knows Devin Booker is here. That's who Devin Booker is. So don't get it twisted because of who he dates or what we presume his lifestyle to be. That's not who Devin Booker actually is, which gives me even more reason to believe he's going to stay here.
There's a big insecurity in this city being so close to L.A. and then now having so many Californians move here. And I, even though I'm not from here, I totally get it. I'm not mocking anybody who has that insecurity that Chris Paul's friendship with LeBron James, Chris Paul's family staying in Los Angeles, Devin Booker dating a Kardashian, and everybody that is either associated with Kentucky or an agent who has represented Devin Booker's in New York. It seems like somebody's leaving. And then Magic Johnson on ESPN yesterday actually dropped this.
I would tell Jeannie I would add some money to get CP3, you know, because it'll be perfect for LeBron. It would be perfect for AD and be perfect for the role players. He makes the game so easy, and you're going to get shots that you've never gotten before.
Because think about it. 7 months ago, Chris Paul's the most overrated person or overpaid person in America at $44 million.
7 months ago.
And now, and I'm on board with this, now it's opt out and sign a 3-year, $100 million deal because you're worth it. And the Lakers will do it in a heartbeat. Do you see why we're a little nervous?
The Suns better do it.
Yeah.
The Suns better do it. I mean, I know your owner has been having a history of not wanting to pay guys. You better pay him. Because I really do think, like, he's the outlier to me. Because, and I was the one that asked Magic that question. I said, if the Suns don't win it this year, would he opt out and would he go to L.A.? Do you see that as being feasible? Because Chris Paul tried to get the L.A. back in the day with New Orleans, and it got the kibosh on it by David Stern, because David Stern in the NBA had an ownership stake around that time.
Pelicans with the New Orleans Hornets at the time.
Hornets, Pelicans, a lot of different names floating around here. I think that's the one where, and that's why I say, like, that relationship that he has with Monty Williams, at the end of the day, CP3 is going to have to do what's best for CP3. But that relationship he has with Monty, I think, is critical.
I'm glad you brought up Sarver, because one good year does not erase 11 disasters. Okay. So he's got a lot to prove as an owner. But it certainly feels like for the first time he said, James, go ahead.
Yes.
Jeff Bowers, go ahead. Monty, go ahead. He stayed out of basketball decisions. And then on CNBC's Power Lunch yesterday, he was asked.
$44 million. Is that going to be worth the price, Robert? I'm curious how you would make a decision like that for keeping someone like Chris Paul.
That's not a hard decision.
It's good to be in a position where you can say that's not a hard decision.
I know those numbers. Those numbers are kind of hard to fathom, for the general public. But for me, he's been worth every penny of it.
So now all of a sudden you got
doesn't that make feel good?
You got a guy right there that is going to be, 39 at the end of that? If you signed him to a three-year deal right there, if he opted out of the contract, signed him to a three-year deal, a three-year extension, he's going to be 39.
But 40 is the new 30, so
I'm just saying right now, some point in time, when does age become a factor?
But look what's going to happen to sports over the next couple of years. So when the NBA's TV package comes up, you're telling me Apple, Amazon, they're not going to put in bids on that? I mean, we're seeing guys like Jokic sign a, five-year, $245 million deal. Mm-hmm. I mean, so what Robert did say there made a lot of sense. And I know $44 million is a lot of money. But in the scheme of what these owners are going to be making with the amount of money, I mean, think about the notoriety that's happened to the Suns. I mean, merchandise sales are going up. Ticket sales are going up. I mean, you're prime time now. You're prime time. And you will remain prime time if you keep your core together. That's a lot of money.
My wife bought me a cool shirt. I was all jacked up and excited. And then about a month later, I saw the bill and it was $70. And I thought, what are we doing? Oh, my gosh. But I'm happy I got my shirt. I was like, hey, I got a new Sun shirt, so I'm pretty jacked up. You were going to be on the show from 7 to 8. You showed up early and gave us an extra 15 minutes. When's
you
beer?
Guys are my family, man.
Man,
what are we doing? Well, if
so
we come, back,
we
if
ever
we come back here for game 5, which, look, we may not.
Oh, yeah. Suns in 4.
We may not. If we come back here for game 5, I would love to come back on and kick it with you guys. If that's cool.
I'm pretty confident in saying every listener and every person in this building will say yes.
Yes.
Okay.
And we are two of them that definitely say yes.
Done.
Love to have you.
Done.
That is Jay Williams joining us, not on the, for once, Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line, but live in the Auction Community Studios for an hour and 15 minutes just to kick it and talk ball, talk life.
Doug, you got to tell me who gets the tickets, so, by the way. I mean, text me.
who's
number 7?
Hey, Minch, who is our winner? Who was caller number 7 for the tickets for the 7 o'clock hour? Oh,
they're scrambling.
Maloney actually showed me the sheet of paper. That helps me a lot from here.
We got Ray Espinoza as the winner.
Oh, okay,
Ray.
So first of all, don't out the Doug and Wolf show, and I don't want 5 million Ray Espinozas showing up at the game tonight, okay? But Ray, if you didn't know, walk up there, prove your Ray to somebody. You want to talk to the producer?
This is what I like to happen.
Okay.
I would like for one of the producers to send me Ray's number.
Okay.
I will call him dialing *67 first.
Yes.
Pick up the unknown call, Ray.
Okay.
And I will tell you where to meet me.
Done.
So good.
Done. We'll stick it with Anthony's job, who's going to take you back to the hotel to call Ray to make sure to answer the unknown number.
Yeah, we'll give a specified time that I will call.
Yes, yes.
This is like an FBI call.
That's fantastic.
Ray, you're the best.
You're absolutely.
Done, bro.
Coming up next, everything you need to know ahead of Game 2 of the Western Conference Finals is coming up on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station.